This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and peace and salutations be upon the final messenger. Brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to our fourth installment of our Dhul Hijjah Diaries, the series dedicated to the special month and the special days that we are in. In yesterday's episode, we began discussing points that prove how attached Dhul Hijjah is to the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and specifically the actions of the Hajj. And we know that this month houses the fifth pillar of Islam, the Hajj. Yesterday we spoke about Safa and Marwa, and we mentioned how Ismail alayhi salam was just 2 years of age, and the scholars of history, they mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salam never just abandoned his family in that place. Rather, he fulfilled a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and left Palestine with them, and left them, yes, in the middle of nowhere as it was then. It was just a valley with nothing besides two mountains that we now know as Safa and Marwa. But this wasn't abandonment. This was fulfilling the command of Allah. He wasn't allowed to stay with them. This was part of the test. But he would come regularly. He would frequently travel up. And there's a famous story of how Ibrahim alayhi salam once came and he reached the door of Ismail, and he knocked the door, and this female opened the door, who was understood to be the wife of Ismail alayhi salam. And she, Ibrahim asked her that, "Where is Ismail?" And she said that he has gone hunting. Right, and this is what he used to do. He was the man of the home, so they used to hunt for their food. So he asked her, "How's everything?" And she began to complain about the difficulty of life and poor financial standing and weak material well-being and so on and so forth. And then Ibrahim said, "You know, do you have anything to, you know, host me so that I may be your guest?" And she said, "No, well, we have nothing." So Ibrahim alayhi salam intended to leave back to his homeland, where he was, settled. But before he did that, he told her that when Ismail comes back, please tell him that a man came by, and he said he should change his doorstep. He should change his doorstep. So Ismail comes back from his hunt, and he meets his wife, and he asks his wife, he was inspired to ask her, "Did anyone visit me today?" She goes, "Yes, this man, unknown man came." So he said, "Please describe him to me." So she described him to Ismail. And because, you know, Ibrahim frequented Mecca to visit his son Ismail, Ismail understood from the description that this was my father. So he said to her, "Did my father," meaning, "did he advise anything towards anything?" And she said, "Yes, he said, you know, you should change your doorstep." So Ismail said that, "Oh, this was my father, and he was instructing me to divorce you. To divorce you," meaning he's instructing me that you are not a suitable wife for me. And then after some time passed, Ibrahim came back and he knocked the door, and another woman opened, and this was the new wife of Ismail alayhi salam. And he asked her, where is Ismail? And she said, "He's gone hunting." And then he asked, "How's everything?" And even though everything was still the same, but she, you know, sort of what we say in English nowadays in colloquial slang, she bigged it up. She said, "Everything is amazing and everything is perfect." And, you know, he said, "Do you have anything to host me so I can be a guest?" And she, you know, she answered in the affirmative. So Ibrahim alayhi salam excused himself and said, "Anyway, when Ismail comes back, tell him to look after the doorstep." Right? In Arabic, it's called atabata babih. Look after his doorstep. So again, Ismail comes home. He's inspired, that there must have been someone who visited. So he asks his wife. She said yes. And she describes the visitor. Ismail understands who the visitor was. It was his father. And he said, "What did my father, you know, what did he say? What did this visitor, this old wise man say?" And she said that he said, "You should look after your doorstep." So Ismail smiled and said, "This was my father, and he's told me to look after you." Now, as we can see from the story, and there are lessons in it, but we see from the story how grown up Ismail was. And obviously Ismail is known as the father of the Arabs, and his father Ibrahim was known as the father of the prophets. The father of the Arabs was Ismail. Why? Because this tribe of Jurhum once was passing through the area. They were also looking for water, and they were from the original Arabs.
And they see these birds circling in the air. And from their desert knowledge, they understood that there must be water nearby. So they dispatched a couple of companions or a few companions to go and, you know, try and find out what these birds are flying over. And as they, you know, navigate their way towards this area that the birds are circling over, they find this well and they find this woman with a boy sitting by the well. So it is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Hajar was a type of extrovert, meaning she liked company and she was lonely where she was. And this was a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon her, that Allah also blessed her with people that she could now interact with. So these men came by and said, look, you know, we're looking for water. Can we settle here with the water? So she said, absolutely, you can settle here, but on one condition. And that condition is no one has access to the well. The well doesn't belong to anyone. No one has a monopoly over it. And they agreed to it, so they settled there. And slowly but surely, you know, they grew in the area. And Ismail alayhi salam married from them. Right, and that is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes back to Ibrahim alaihi salam via his son Ismail alaihi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an Arab, as we know. All the other prophets go back to Ibrahim alaihi salam via Ibrahim's other son Ishaq. Right, the only prophet that goes back to Ibrahim via Ismail alaihi salam is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many years later now, Ismail is here, he settled here, and Ibrahim comes back and tells him that Allah wants us to build this Kaaba. And Ismail immediately, he answers the call of his father, you know, this labbaik kind of attitude that whatever you say, I'm here. And they build the Kaaba, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what's amazing, brothers and sisters in Islam? Allah tells us this part in the Quran, this part of the story of Ibrahim. And he says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, in the first juz, Allah says that when Ibrahim alayhi salam raised the pillars of Allah's house along with his son, and you know, when they did this, they said, oh, our Lord, accept from us. Indeed, you are the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Now, this is amazing, brothers and sisters in Islam, especially for those who are doing their Hajj, and even those who are not on Hajj. There's lessons for all of us. But if you know someone on Hajj, send them this lesson. Perhaps it will amplify the Hajj experience as well. That there's no one who can compete with Ibrahim alayhi salam in this act of worship. Imagine. Who can build a Kaaba? No one can build a Kaaba. There's only one Kaaba. So Ibrahim receives an instruction to build one Kaaba in a place at a time, right? And this is the house of Allah. There's no one who can compete with him in this worship. It's not like Salah. We have people competing with us in Salah. We have people competing with us in charity, you know, in kindness to parents and good character. People compete with us in all sorts of good deeds. But building a Kaaba, who? No prophet can compete with Ibrahim alayhi salam. But subhanAllah, what happens at the end? Does he jump up and down after he fulfills the command of Allah and, you know, arrogantly doing fist pumps and chest pumps and you know, maybe screaming out some takbirs and look, you know, this is who I am? And no, look, subhanAllah, as soon as he finishes doing this act that no one can compete with him in, he say, makes dua to Allah that, oh Allah, accept from me and my son, you are indeed all hearing of the praises we announced when we were building this Kaaba, and you are al-alim, you are the most knowing of our intentions and our actions. Right, brothers and sisters in Islam. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this that the right of Islam is to learn. And the right of learning is to act. And the right of acting is to become more humble. After you act, you become more humble. And you worship Allah again. And we spoke about this with regards to the dhikr. It's one act of worship that Allah commands us to after worship. It's worship after worship, worship after worship. After you worship Allah, become humble. Don't become arrogant because of your beard, because of your hijab, because of your thawb above your ankles. Don't do that. Become more humble. And feel blessed that Allah chose me, and feel the need to thank Him and seek forgiveness for your weakness and try your best to worship again. This is a great lesson from the life of Ibrahim during the days of Hajj, from the actions of Hajj in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Worship Allah, and after you worship Him, become more humble and worship Him again. Don't become arrogant and ever feel that you are better. For no one can compete with Ibrahim alayhi salam in building the Kaaba, and not once did he ever feel better. Rather, he asked Allah for acceptance. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Until our next diary entry, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuhu.